My guest at this time is Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. He filed suit against the federal government over the president's health care plan, saying that it violated a Virginia statute protecting its citizens from the penalty of the individual mandate. On Thursday, of course, the Supreme Court upheld the individual mandate and most of the president's health care plan. It did rein in the power of the government in a couple of different areas, and we'll talk about all that in the next few minutes. And, sir, thanks very much for being with us.
Glad to be with you, Greg.
Well, some pretty high drama on Thursday morning. The Chief Justice, in his majority opinion, 5-4, said that at first that this plan was unconstitutional on the grounds of the Commerce Clause. Then it was unconstitutional on the grounds of the Necessary and Proper Clause. But it is constitutional based on the power of Congress to tax. So how did you react to all that?
Well, you know, when we first saw that the statute was mostly upheld, there was a big chunk taken out for states, but we were pretty disappointed. But when you look at where the invasions of liberty could occur, the court actually insulated us from that. You mentioned the Commerce Clause. It's worth noting that this case explicitly marked the outer limit of the Commerce Clause and that this mandate was beyond it. And that's the first time that's happened since the New Deal. So this is the first reining in of the federal government under the Commerce Clause since the New Deal. And not only did that happen, but the compulsion of states to participate in the new expansion of Medicaid was found unconstitutional also under the spending power. And that is the first and only time since the New Deal that the federal power has been limited in 85 years. So those are some real strong protections for liberty and for state sovereignty in the spending clause side. The Chief Justice obviously read the taxing power fairly broadly to uphold the mandate under the penalty that you have to pay if you don't buy their health insurance. But remember how they passed this bill. They told everybody it's not a tax, it's not a tax. Well, if this opinion were, instead of having been filed today, had been in place 3 years ago, when they voted on the bill 2.5 years ago, they would have all been voting on a tax bill, and they'd have all known it. There would have been no jockeying around saying, no, that's not what we're doing. And congressmen and senators hate to vote on taxes more than anything else, which is why the whole scheme was put together to be able to argue that it's not a tax. They will never be able to do that again. So the Chief Justice protected us under the Commerce Clause. Seven of the justices joined in the Spending Clause restriction on federal power. And while upholding the law under the taxing power, if you look forward into the future, this will never happen as easily as it did in this case. They'll never get the 60 votes in the Senate for something like this, particularly on a unipartisan basis, ever again.
Mr. Attorney General, as far as this particular law, though, goes, was this the last best chance to stop it? Is November the last best chance
to stop
it?
Well, November is the last best chance. I wouldn't even say last. It's just the best. You know, speaking as a state government official, the piece that the Supreme Court blocked the federal government from was being able to compel us, I'll use Virginia as an example, Virginia's state government, from joining in the massive expansion of Medicaid. And for us, you know, just one state makes up 2% of Americans. It was worth $200 million a year of imposed costs on our state if we were to go down that path. So I think it very unlikely that our governor and legislature will go down that path. It's been the fastest, most explosive growing part of our budget, and it's been eating up everything else, and I can't imagine that our legislators and our governor are going to want to keep putting that growth on steroids. So we have we've gotten a big win at the state government finance level, and states are very much in control of a lot of this because there's another mistake in the law, where if states don't set up exchanges, it does appear that our businesses cannot be hit with the $2,000 or $3,000 penalty per employee. So I think there's going to be a real question in most states about whether or not to set these exchanges up at all. And if that doesn't happen, you know, much of what this law was trying to do is simply not going to happen.
One of the things the court ruled, as you mentioned, is that states do not have to participate in Medicaid expansion. They also ruled that the federal government cannot take punitive action against those states that right. refuse to participate, mainly by withholding existing levels right. of Medicaid funding. But do you fear that there could be punitive action in other ways?
Well, you know, they're going to have to get that through both the House and the Senate if they're going to take independent punitive action. It's a little difficult to do otherwise because it's so tied up with spending. And everybody in Congress and the president have to either vote for that or sign off on it. So I'm not too concerned about that. I think there are a lot of other things we need to be worried about, but that approach is probably not one of them. I will say that, you know, if you look back historically, they have used the spending power more and more as a hammer with states. And the Supreme Court here, this is no minor reining in of that power. This is a major, major club that's been taken away from the federal government that they've been beating states with.
Exit question. A lot of bad news for you in there, a lot of good news in there for you. So overall, what kind of letter grade do you give this ruling?
I'd give this ruling, boy, that's an interesting question. I'd probably give it a B minus, and it gets into the B range because it does protect the Constitution from federal overreach, and it does protect individual liberty, and those have got to be the priorities. Those are the eternal legal issues that are going to redound through America for hundreds of years into the future. It gets the minus and doesn't get into the A range because the enormous costs on a policy level of this bill we're left with. But, you know, courts are called on to deal with the law. The policy consequences are going to be left to the election. And I will tell you this, this is going to heat up the conservative base, and it should, because that's the solution to getting rid of what remains of this monstrosity.
Well, we'll certainly be watching there. You've been a major player in this debate all along, sir, and I know you'll continue to be. Thank you very much for your time.
Good to be with you, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Virginia Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli, I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.